Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Wake up to something different on Sunday mornings by joining me, Pete Evans, for Spinning Jazz. The finest in modern jazz, from hard bop to bossa nova, from Latin to soul. That's Spinning Jazz every Sunday morning at 9 on Sheffield Live. 93.2 FM.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
It's time to open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
If you love new music and you want to discover the best new artists out there, then tune into The Backroom with me, Paddy. I'll be playing the best in new indie, electro, EDM and punk, and showcasing new Sheffield talent. Also music news, local and national gig guide and new album releases. So tune into The Backroom every Thursday night between 6 and 7pm here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
This is Sheffield Live.
Afternoon, you are listening to The Film Show on Sheffield Live, and I'm Martin.
I'm Denise, hello. Hello.
Hello,
welcome to The Film Show. How are
you? That's it, big pause.
Dramatic pause. There's so much to fit in this week.
Yes, for once. So we've had to do some scheduling, some trimming. I had to talk you down from a windowsill.
There's so many festivals, there's so much news, there's so many announcements.
Oh, it's too much.
It's too much. I had a lot of coffee this week as well. I thought that might have been
the case. anyway, she's detoxed and we're going to start local.
Yes, we are. As we speak, 4 minutes past 12. As we speak, there are people at the showroom queuing for their celluloid screens passes that go on sale this minute.
Oh, there you go. Celluloid screens, Sheffield's very own horror film festival.
Yeah, and it's been going 16 years.
Yeah.
Amazing. And it's really grown and developed over the years. I'm not a mad horror fan, but I always dip in for a few films.
I always go to at least one of the screenings. Yeah. When is it on this year?
So it is in October. I had the dates right in front of me and they've gone now. 10th. Oh, it's in my diary. Here we go. What have we got? So we've got a range of stuff. You look up the date while I'm looking up what's on.
You've got a range of stuff.
They've got a whole strand of, like, they've got some classics, including Blood and Black Lace, which is a 60th anniversary
and
screening.
And that is a truly sensational movie.
From Beyond the Grave as well. 50 years old. Usual lot of mix of short films and mystery screenings. But they're also this year launching like Retro Nightmares, which is a DIY filmmaking challenge for 18 to 25 year olds. That looks good. That's in conjunction with BFI Film Hub North. There are some talks, stuff like that. There's a lovely little list of new. So the opening gala is a film called Frankie Frico, which is a UK premiere. There's all sorts of interesting stuff on there. A bit of humour. There's a documentary, Children of the Wicker Man, yeah. Which I thought I could mention because then you can tell your story.
I've told my story about a long, tedious evening but with that, Robin Hardy.
But that looks like a very interesting concept for a documentary because it's
they didn't ask me to appear.
Literally, his kids going, this messed him and us up, actually.
There you go.
Yeah, right. But there's a combination of really gory stuff and really humorous stuff as well. Yeah, looking forward to that. Festival passes on sale now, and then you can buy individual tickets from Saturday the 21st of September, and then the dates are later in October. I think it's the 10th.
24th through to the 27th of October.
Yeah, so that's there exciting. We'll be dipping into that, won't we?
We will. Yeah. We will. A little bit more of local news. Apparently, there has been a planning application made for a cinema to be built at the Crystal Peaks Shopping Centre.
Yes, it used to be a 10-screen multiplex.
10-screen, and that was the first multiplex cinema in Sheffield.
Oh.
And it was one of the first in the country. This is going back to when a multiplex cinema was, wow, what's that?
Well, it closed in 2003, didn't it? But one of its highlights was holding the Full Monty premiere, UK premiere, world premiere even. The chap who's put the application in has sort of said, the most feedback we get from people is, when are you going to bring us a cinema?
Yeah.
But this is interesting because it's not trying to... It's four screens, average of about 70 seats a screen.
So these are quite small auditorium. Yeah. And if you look at that, you think, well, that's the sort of thing that maybe an everyman cinema would be. Four smallish screens showing...
Or a Curzon type
independent. That sort of independent art house cinema. And you think, for Crystal Peaks? And then you think, well, why not?
Yeah.
Why not have something there? Why should that be, you have to go to the centre of town to see that stuff? Because the Curzon shows enough mainstream films now as well. So I'd be interested to see if it goes. Sure, it'd be good.
Mm.
But, I mean, as we've said before, Sheffield has got a lot of screens.
Yeah, I suppose.
But maybe they need them in different
that area,
places.
Yeah, because it's all very central and Meadowhall.
That's towards Meadowhall Way, isn't it? Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how that one progresses.
Yeah.
Now, spreading our wings a little outside of South Yorkshire, and the BFI is kicking off with yet another season. Should I just ask how you enjoyed the Baylor Tarr film after the BFI's Baylor Tarr
season? I think
season?
I summed it up as, well, normally after the show we might have a little bit of a pint of cider and some chips, perhaps, at one of our local favourite establishments. I had to forego that last week to go and watch this 2.5-hour
Verkmeister Harmonies.
Yeah. And I think maybe it was more of a Wet Tuesday Night film.
Yeah. Leave it there?
Yeah.
But now you have seen a Baylor Tarr film.
I've broken the Baylor Tarr. Cherry.
Obviously, what do I say there? Okay, so the BFI have another season.
Yes.
Maybe a little more mainstream
this
time.
The Art of Action.
Yes.
Mm.
Which is...
And this is definitely nationwide.
Yep.
So as well as on the South Bank, there will be events, no doubt, in Sheffield as well. There's no mention of the exact details of what's going where yet.
But it's a review, isn't it, of action films from throughout the ages and from around the world.
Yeah, and I think the earliest one is 1926, The General. Have you ever seen that in the cinema?
I've seen that in the cinema.
I love
it. Many of you may have just Googled The General train crash and seen the bit where the train goes over the bridge, or should I say doesn't go over the bridge. And it is... truly jaw-dropping.
I think I saw it last year at Nottingham Broadway. It was a lovely experience, yeah.
And there's alongside the season, the BFI is also going to be re-releasing Hang on to your underpants.
It's the way it's got to be.
Point Break.
Oh, I love Point
the
Break
Keanu
so much.
The Keanu Reeves version, not... I can't even remember who was in the
remake. I didn't even give it the time of day.
Where, of course, he's good Keanu. Oh. And Patrick Swayze, the Swayster, is good stroke bad Swayze.
He's bad Swayze.
Oh, I don't know. He's good at the end and he comes through.
Does he?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, he was bad, but he had a reason to be bad. And the ending is apocalyptic, isn't it?
I adore.
And some of the best action sequences.
That chase. It's Catherine Bigelow's film, isn't it? I think that one chase where they run through all the houses and the gardens. It starts off in a garage, doesn't it, with an explosion.
Is it one of the Red Hot Chili Peppers one again?
That's another sequence that's really good as well, where they have a raid on the house.
Hold on to your seatbelts for that. Point Break is back.
Yeah, I'm gonna. That's a film I could see any day.
What if
week
you go and see it in 4DX? You come out really, really wet. I don't know. I'm just asking for
but
a friend.
The Train as well, the 1964 film, The Train. I haven't seen that, but you were telling me that's
the action in The Train is some of the most spectacular I think you will ever see. You know, if trains crash into each other, it's big, huge locomotives crashing into each other. An air raid on a goods yard, it's loads of aeroplanes blowing the place to bits.
Yes.
Burt Lancaster. That's my Burt Lancaster impersonation.
There's loads of good stuff. The Wild Bunch, Run Lola Run. There's got to be something to take your fancy in that, I reckon.
Yeah, so look out for that, and I'm sure we'll be dipping in to recommend something as the season progresses.
And moving on to the first of our film festival mentions. Oh, no, the second. We've done
something
on the screen.
We've already done two.
But Toronto Film Festival's just opened.
Just opened, yes.
And there'll be some crossover with this and London Film Festival, which is coming up as well later on.
But there's a number of films being premiered here. Mike Leigh's new film, Hard Truths.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'll say a little bit about in a minute, because it's also on Trailer Trash. Yeah. There's also the return of Pamela Anderson.
I've got a lot of time for Pamela Anderson, you know.
What was it called? The last Showgirl, was it? Where she's sort of doing what Mickey Rourke did in The Wrestler. You know, she's trying to bring back her her career after the... Is it Pam and Tommy videos?
Don't go there.
But she's playing an aging Las Vegas showgirl in the last weeks of the casino in which she works before it closes down. Accompanying her in the cast is Dave Bautista and the ubiquitous Jamie Lee Curtis, but she's getting absolutely rave reviews for her performance.
Oh, good. I am glad.
And it could be a whole new career for her. Mm. And she can go and make loads of really bad action movies, like what Mickey Rourke did after The Wrestler. It's an option, isn't it?
Yeah, why not?
That's only just started.
Yeah, that's
I think
just
it'll be next
off,
weekend when we hear what the winners are. And Toronto's a bit strange because it's as much about big, you know, blockbuster movies getting their premieres or their, some of their
they
first
have a lot
early
of art
housey
type stuff, though.
Indie. Yeah, it's very, very. Mm. I mean, I've been there a couple of times, and it's a very, very broad range of films. Mm. It's quite an effort to keep up on which are the ones you should try and go to see. Because I like going to a festival and maybe seeing stuff that maybe might not come out anywhere else, you know. Because a lot of the time there'll be a big film that's going to be out next week at your local cinema.
Yeah, you know? What's the point?
But we will, again, talk more about Toronto next week.
Uh-huh. Well, we mentioned a little bit. But
Trailer Trash.
Have you seen the trailer for, I think I can say this on the radio, Night Bitch, in reference to dogs there.
Woof.
So this is Amy Adams playing a mother and getting in touch with her primal side, I think.
Oh,
It looks a lot of fun. It's by the director of Can You Ever Forgive Me, which was the what's her name? Rich D. Grant and
It's the thing
about Lee Israeli. And it's Melissa McCarthy, that's who it is, yeah. It's directed by Marielle Heller, though, and she's come up with this new film, Night Watch, in which Amy Adams looks like a frustrated mum who sort of, by the end of the trailer, has turned into a dog. Frankly, it looks a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. What's our other trailer trash?
I was just looking at the Can You Ever Forgive Me? And there was a still from that that me and Shelley used to use when we were when we had a web presence. And it was Richard E. Grant and Melissa McCarthy just about to slug down a large amount of alcohol. The other one is the new film from Mike Lee that we mentioned it. Hard Truths.
Hard Truths. And it looks like a... it very much looks like a return to your sort of Secrets and Lies form because it features the rather wonderful Marianne Baptiste.
Yes, and who should have been making loads of films in this country after a marvellous turn in that, but had to go to America.
Yeah, I think I read an interview with her where she was kind of saying, you know, I was this Oscar-nominated top film of the year in the UK and I couldn't get... She went to America. I think she's in a police procedural
thing
for quite a long
time. Couldn't get a part in
Casualty. Yeah. But she looks great in this. She looks like a really grumpy, depressed... I'm not selling it very well, am I? But also, the humour looks...
Her character appealed to me enormously. I could understand her pain.
But one of her rants in the trailer is like, I've had to meet this ugly baby. Isn't it ugly? Yes. What's it got pockets for? What's it going to put in his pockets? And then you go, well, yeah, that's a good point. Well made. Looks like a return to form.
So, anyway, this is some of the stuff which I'm sure you'll be seeing these trailers in theatres as well. You don't just have to Google.
Yeah. I don't think it's long before it's out here. I think it's out in the next couple of months.
Probably one of those after the London Film Festival. Yeah. It'll be out, won't it? So, music.
Hey, it's over to you for the music.
So, I've not had a complete breakdown in choosing my music. There is method to this madness. So we've put a selection of music tracks which have music videos directed by leading film directors. Over to you. What were you going to say?
But already when they're established directors.
Yes. This isn't people who have progressed from music videos to film directed. We'll do that another week.
Yeah, we'll keep that in the back pocket.
And we've also kept away from Michael Jackson videos and tried to put a bit of indie stuff in there.
It's a little bit eclectic,
as the show normally is. And we're going to start off with... I love this track. Did you know this track?
I don't think so, no.
Baker Man by Laid Back. And the video is... You're up in an aeroplane and all the band jump out the aeroplane with parachutes and the director, Mr. Lars von Trier, jumps out with them.
Wait, what? That's very Tom Cruise, isn't it?
And films them as they plummet to Earth. I think in the extended version, they actually hit the ground before pulling their parachutes. But what can you do?
I mean, rules of dogma, Lars.
Exactly. Play by the rules. Accept the consequences. Baker Man. Baking bread,
was baking bread. Sagabona, Conjani Wayne, Sagabona.
Video directed by Lars von Trier. Google it and you can enjoy the spectacle of a band and the director plummet into earth with parachutes on.
Excellent.
Okay, so we're going to have a bit of a roundup on the Venice Film Festival, which has been on this past week or so. Just to say, the actual awards for which films are going to win the... It's Golden Lions, isn't it, at Venice?
Yeah.
Aren't going to happen until this evening. So, obviously, we haven't seen any of these films. We've just fed Parasite-like, like off of reviews and our own prejudices here.
Yes, and the length of standing ovations.
And the length of standing
which
ovations.
Is how we, which is how
I'll
we measure
leave this to
these
you.
Things.
Yes.
Well, there was a... I feel awkward when you're clapping for too long.
Yeah.
And there's this thing at film festivals where they've it's become a habit that we say, oh, the ovation for this was 17 minutes long.
How can you clap for 17 minutes?
But well, there's this thing at they're mentioning at Cannes how they you have to stay and stand and clap while they're taking the camera around and filming the audience. So it's like, I find it awkward. You know when you're watching a musical, you might not because you hate them, but you know when you go into a musical and then the audience at the end do this clap?
Yeah.
The rhythm, as the, like playing it with the rhythm of a song, and I have to stop clapping then because I find it too socially awkward. But yeah, the Guardian's obviously come up with a, is there too much clapping or innovations? What do they even mean at film festivals?
I think that it's like similar to... when there's going to be a Q&A. And like you've watched the film, you thought, right, that's all I need. I need to go home now. And you always need to sit at the end of a row because as the credits are coming up, you can then sidle out and it's before looking. Or maybe if everyone's standing up, again, you've got some camouflage there.
I'm sorry, I've got another film to get to.
Sorry, I would stay. I would clap. And, you know, the sound of your clapping... receding into the ground. Yeah.
But what do we think is the most likely contenders for this prize that should be announced later?
Well,
the big film that everyone's raving about.
Let's say creating a buzz around Venice is Brady Corbett's The Brutalist.
Now this features Adrian Brody and Felicity Jones
and Guy Pearce.
Mm.
And
not just a neighbour.
It's if he can remember to get to the auditorium as well and have it written on his arm. Anyway, enough of in-jokes. Anyway, The Brutalist is a 3.5 hour.
But it does come with...
And it has an intermission, so that's going to be 3.75 hours.
You don't have to make your own mind up when you're going to go for your loo break.
It's all provided it's done for you. And it's a film about some 1940s, 1950s America and the struggle of a European emigrant.
He plays an architect, doesn't he?
To become an architect. Yeah. So there's echoes of Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead. Have you seen The Fountainhead?
No.
You need to.
Okay.
It's bonkers.
Yes, boss.
It's fascistic. And it has some of the most disturbing...
It's fascistic.
Some of the most disturbing sexual imagery I've seen in a film of that time. Yes. Anyway, but this is going to be almost like a... from the sound of it, it's going to be a critique of American society.
Yeah.
Adrian Brody is getting wonderful reviews.
Oscar tipped already. Bit early to be talking about that, but it is the season now.
Well, the way you were going, another cup of coffee this week and we would have been doing an Oscar roundup.
It's come in.
But I've always been a bit questionable about Brody. I always thought he was like over-egged a bit because of The Pianist.
I think he's got a very personal connection to this, though. I think his mother was a Hungarian...
Yes.
Immigrant to America following the
Second World War. His career has sort of had a bit of a bumpy ride since The Pianist. He's another one of these actors. Like, you win this big award and it doesn't quite happen for you, does it? Anyway, it looks immense, this film. And Brady Corbett is, again, an extremely interesting director. He did Childhood of a Leader, which is one of my favourite films of this century. And he also did Vox Lux with Natalie Portman as a troubled rock star.
I'm making notes, listener.
I must watch this when I get home tonight. But which also has an astonishing sequence where some terrorists invade a Mediterranean beach and like kill everybody on the beach. It's bonkers. But... he's a very special filmmaker, I think, Corbett.
Yeah, it's certainly been the biggest hit with audiences and critics alike at the festival. Slightly less well-received, perhaps. Joker, Folie à Deux. Todd Phillips's follow-up to The Joker. But Lady Gaga. I saw a poster this the other day, and it's Gaga. they don't say Lady Gaga, it's Gaga.
Do you say that in your head now as well?
I'm sure
everybody at home listening does as well, because it's the right way to say it.
I still want to see this film.
I'm excited about it.
I don't think it's tipped for any awards. There is Maria, which is Angelina Jolie as Maria Callas. That looks like an interesting biopic.
Well, it's going to be directed. It's directed by Pablo Larraine, who did Jackie Kennedy
and Spencer.
And Spencer, which was about
Diana, Princess of Wales, when she was just about to get divorced.
I thought was an astonishing.
Yeah.
Well, both of them are astonishing films.
So that's
interesting. His trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Also, achieving a rather long ovation was Queer. The follow-up for Challenges for Luca Guadagnino.
Yeah, I think you got it quite
quickly. But that's Daniel Craig.
Yes.
It's inspired by William S. Burroughs as well. Obsessing about a younger man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Burroughs was a homosexual writer and drug addict who, during the 40s and 50s, sort of scraped away a living in places like Marrakesh and that, and then become a huge cult figure in the 1960s with the Beat generation of writers and poets.
I really rate Daniel Craig as an actor. I loved him since Our Friends in the North, our favourite TV show. And so when he got cast as Bond, I was a bit like, oh.
Yes.
He won't do great stuff anymore, but he's still living.
He's always sort of kept his hand in, so to speak, with the other stuff, isn't he?
Yeah. And he really embraces it, I think.
Yeah.
What else is there? There's Baby Girl. I'm not so keen on... Is it an erotic thriller with Nicole Kidman? I'm not so sure about that one.
I'm getting confused with that television series that's just started with Nicole Kidman.
Oh, Big Little Lies, is it?
Oh, no. About murder and on the beach.
Another one, yeah,
rich people. I don't know, haven't you done this before?
There is an Almodovar, Tilda Swinton and Julianne Moore, The Room Next Door. I'm interested. That comes out in about
first film in English
mid to late October. Yeah. I don't know if I want the Spanish.
Have it dubbed into Spanish and have English subtitles.
Slightly less fun looking. Oh, no, actually, it's not fun looking, is it? Because she's got a terminal illness in that film. Not great fun.
I mean, if you're going to sit there and laugh like that, well, you're just heartless.
It's
aren't
just
you?
David Lynch all over again, that, isn't it? But April as well.
Now, this one looks challenging.
Yes.
And the most challenging thing is to pronounce the name of the director.
It's Dea Kulumbagashvili.
Look at that.
that looks... It's sort of an abortion and...
It's a doctor or a midwife working out in rural Georgia.
But it also looks like it's in the 50s. She also performs like illegal abortions.
Yeah. But apparently, I was reading about it this morning, actually, and it's just like the way it's filmed and the way the narrative unfolds is almost quite experimental. Yeah. And every review I said, it's a tough watch.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about
seeing
it.
Oh, I like a tough watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
You didn't last Saturday afternoon, though, did you?
Well, no, I really wanted to be in the Rutland.
Well, don't go and see this on a Saturday afternoon.
Tuesday night, yep.
Yep.
Okay. But that's our highlights. And
we'll report back next week, won't we, to tell you how right we were.
Yeah. It looks like the brute list, doesn't it?
I hope so. Mm. I hope so.
Jolly good.
Okay, back to music.
Oh, you've got one of my favourite bands now.
Oh, no, one of my favourite bands. I could tell my Claire Denis story again now. God, I forgot.
Come
about
on,
this.
We've had that this year already. Once a year, you can tell your Claire Denis story.
Right. So this is a music video directed by Claire Denis, and it's not a Tinderstick song. Can you believe
what?
That? No.
The hay.
This is her doing a video for Sonic Youth, and this is Incinerate.
was Sonic Youth. You're listening to The Film Show. I'm Denise.
I'm Martin. And we were going to fade that, weren't we? We were just...
We
were in the mosh pit, weren't we?
Keep it going.
Two-person mosh pit in the studio.
Martin was telling us a story about screwdrivers, and it was, yeah, it's great.
Thurston Moore playing his guitar with screwdrivers. You always know it's good when he gets out of a Phillips.
But Kim Gordon. All power to Kim Gordon.
Yes. Mm.
Great.
Right. Sorry, I've lost myself now.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. We'll move on to reviews.
I'm in a world of Sonic Youth now.
Move on to reviews. We've had to... it's difficult deciding what to put in the reviews this week because there's so much good stuff out. Film of the week, though, big release, I suppose, is Beetlejuice. So the follow-up...
Make a third one? Beetlejuice. Oh, no!
What you done? Oh, no! Oh, dear. So, follow-up to Tim Burton's 1988... massive hit, yeah, and arguably it gave Tim Burton like a lot of a step up into his filmmaking and
what
gave
he'd
him
done before. Was it just Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
I think so, yeah. But it's such a
but
big
that's
cult.
A great film.
It's such a big cult hit, and the sort of special effects in it, and the stop animation in it, and the sort of the humour in it, and the heart of it is such a it's so fondly remembered.
Yeah.
And your premise of Beetlejuice. So we've moved on in time. A lot of the main characters are still with us, though. And Winona Ryder, who was the awkward teenager, is now the awkward mum. She is mother to Jenna Ortega's Astrid. And she still has a relationship with her stepmother, played delightfully by Catherine O'Hara. Oh. I mean, Delia Dietz. Catherine O'Hara could just read a telephone book and it would suddenly be hilarious.
I'm not going to talk about her sister. I'm leaving that for another show.
She's wonderful in this film as the stepmother. The premise for getting them all together is the death of Daddy Keats, who it nicely sidesteps the fact that you wouldn't want to cast Jeremy Jones anymore with his...
History,
yes, unpleasant history. And the way they get around that is they humorously kill him off in an animated sequence, which how do you then, because we're going to the underworld, so how do you then, you can still have him in the film. Well, his head's gone. So he is a headless torso running around in the underworld. So they all come together for his funeral. They'll go back to the old place. There are a number of new cast as well. So Monica Bellucci, you're quite excited about, aren't you? She sort of plays the ex-wife of Mr. Michael Keaton's Beetlejuice. Justin Theroux also turns up as a sort of horrible TV executive. We know he's a bad guy because in the uniform of bad guys, he has very short hair, but he's got it in a little ponytail at the back. Oh. And we know these men cannot be trusted.
They cannot be trusted. They cannot be tolerated.
But Winona Ryder's Lydia Dietz hasn't figured this out. She is, her career now is as a TV psychic. And he's a horrible TV exec who's clinging on to her. They all go back to the house and, oh, what a surprise, Beetlejuice.
Hello.
Comes back into the equation. It's a lot of fun.
The
juice is loose. Everyone's great in it. They all clearly are having great fun. The special effects stop animation is true to the original.
Oh, that's good.
It's silly. I wasn't massively enamoured with the, like, there's a little bit of an epilogue to the film that I was a bit, I didn't need that. But, and sometimes it gets a little bit, I think perhaps Monica Bellucci's slightly underused in it. There is a lot going on in the underworld, as you'd expect.
Of the, when it comes out, with lots of Bellucci outtakes.
But overall, I think if you're a fan of the original film, and even if you're not, and you just want to see something fun and different, that's a rate from me.
That's a rate from you, then. Marvellous. Right, well, I've got to say sorry this week because I went off on a bit of a rant last week, didn't I, about Netflix films and how rubbish they all are.
And what are you reviewing for us this week?
I'm reviewing this week Jeremy Saunier's Rebel Ridge, which started on Netflix last night. Now, Saunier is a really, really good director. He first came to the fore with Blue Ruin about 10 years ago now. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, he released Green Room, where an American punk band went to do a gig in the middle of nowhere to find their audience was a bunch of neo-fascist Nazis led by Sir Patrick Stewart. Would you believe it's a great little movie?
I bet he's quite a believable.
He is, you know, he's sort of very, very laid back. He can send chills down your spine with just one nasty sentence. So Saulnier made another film which went straight to Netflix called Hold the Dark, which again was very, very interesting, but very weird in its own way. So this new one, Rebel Ridge, is absolutely amazing, I think. It's one of the best thrillers I've seen for ages. And the opening 10 minutes, I think, will just have you hooked. Aaron Pierre, the British actor, is riding his bicycle out in the countryside, where he's knocked off his bicycle by a couple of redneck cops in patrol cars. And this scene sort of starts off quite simply, and over the next 10 minutes, like, Saulnier tightens the screw more and more. And by the end of this scene, you are in a state of complete outrage as to what's happened. And this then kicks off. Well, it's almost another 2 hours of increasing tension and mayhem. It's stunning. So many films now just don't know how to do things in any sort of perspective. You know, everything's got to be big explosions all the time. This is things where there can just be like a scene in a corridor with two people where there's so much menace happening. Terry, the character played by Aaron Pierre, gets enmeshed with these small town cops who are up to their eyes in both racism and corruption, and has to try and find a way through and get himself out of the town and try and save his cousin who he's trying to get parole money to get him out of prison. It's electrifying. And 2 hours, for once, it was a film just over 2 hours, which I wouldn't have cut any of it out. Uh-huh. I'm going to give this a massive rate. And if you've not seen any other Jeremy Saulnier films, you need to.
Oh, we are rating today.
I'm on a rate. I'm on a rate roll.
This is exciting because I also have a rate coming up.
No.
A very strong rate. This is actually my film of the month, it's definitely a film of the year for me. So this is Firebrand. It's based on Elizabeth Freemantle's historical fiction novel from about 10 years ago or so. And it is based on the life of Catherine Parr. You might know her as Survived, or the sixth wife of Henry VIII. She's named regent while he's off overseas. He comes back. He is ill, declining in health, paranoid about treason. And Catherine herself is playing a bit of a dangerous game. It is directed by, I think I might have mentioned this film the other week but got the name wrong, the director of The Invisible Life of Eurydice, and his name is Karim Aynouz. It starts off giving itself a license to say, well, we never reported on women's lives, we just told it in the context of who they were married to. So I can imagine what I like for this character and how they might have reacted to being in this quite violent domestic abuse relationship. It stars Alicia Vikander as Catherine Parr and a wonderful, wonderful turn as Henry by Jude Law.
He's in a couple of films that are doing the festival round as well,
yeah,
isn't he?
There's one where he's in as a like neo-Nazi, I think.
It's a cop film. Yeah. And is he infiltrating a neo-Nazi?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
They're everywhere this week on the show.
But I thoroughly enjoyed this film. It's very tense. It's beautifully shot and beautifully acted. And then if I didn't love it already enough, as it finishes, who's singing the closing credits, but Miss PJ Harvey. So it's catnip for me, this film. Highly rate.
Was she using medieval instruments in this?
No,
song?
It's the Down by the Water.
Oh, God.
Song. Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. That's menacing as it is.
But I'm giving that a very strong rate. We've got to move on because there's just not time to review everything, but I want to briefly mention Sombre, Anatomy of a Crime, which is a French drama series on iPlayer, on BBC4, I think it's being broadcast. It is a very timely, it's inspired by true events. It's a horrible story about a rapist who was free to just carry on attacking women from about 1988. Only convicted in 2022, caught in 2018, and it's just about the. It's based on a journalist account of the crimes, but more really, it's not about the crimes, but about the lack of investigation and the humiliation of the victims, and that it's very well told. 6 episodes, but they focus on a different time and from a different perspective.
Right.
So it starts off, say, with the victim. They're based on the real people, but they are fictionalized, change names. So it's got the facts. It's from fact, but it's meant to be more of a tribute to, and like it's called, an anatomy of what went wrong and why it went wrong.
Right.
It's basically misogyny, patriarchy.
I shall catch up on that one.
Yeah, I recommend it.
Yeah. I'm just going to interject for a moment here, just to tell you, the curse of the film show continues. The Crow is no longer on at the light, and there are only 3 shows of it per day at Cineworld. That film is dead.
You killed it, Martin.
I killed it. Hold my hand up. It was me.
We're going to move on to your third track, aren't we, now?
All right. Okay. Third track. In the task of trying to find some different songs as well to play, I was looking at Sofia Coppola's CV, and again, I could have put Ayers Playground Love from Virgin Suicides, which she directed, and I thought, no, that's all too easy. So I found online a song by a band I'd never heard of. Apparently they're a French band called Phoenix. And this is a video that she did for a track of theirs called Chloroform. And I'd recommend you to Google that, call it up on YouTube, as it's a beautiful, beautiful video. Most of it is one long panning shot along an audience of young women watching Phoenix play. And it's all one shot, beautiful tracking shot. And each of the women has a slightly different expression on their place, on their face, going from, you know, sadness to happiness to despair. But it's beautiful. So here is Chloroform by Phoenix, directed by Sofia Coppola.
The truth, they don't mind if you're told where I'm from. Anyone I find intrusive, you will bother if you choose me. I don't know what I think of you. Eyes and tell I'm insecure. Chloroform, I would rather stand if you stay. Chase each other. It's not a lot, it's just enough to matter.
Bit there because we haven't got a huge amount of time there, and Denise has got some dispatches from the front.
So much. We didn't get time to review Starvacre this week, but I did catch it, and it is worth your consideration. It's like a British folk horror, Matt Smith, Morfydd Clark, in rural Yorkshire. His Three Daughters is also, it's a Netflix film, so it is coming to Netflix soon, but I recommend catching it in the cinema. That's a lovely little drama about three daughters coming together at the deathbed of their father. You're looking forward to, I think, Lee this week, coming out on Friday?
Yes, I've read and known about Lee Miller for some time now, and I'm interested to see, because I know this has been something of a pet project for Kate Winslet for many, many years, to get her story onto the screen.
Yeah.
And Lee Miller was a war photographer.
She had to push it over the line as well with her own money, I think.
But during the 20s, she'd been involved in the avant-garde and surrealist scene.
Well, yeah,
in
Paris. She was with Man Ray. I saw an exhibition
one of
his
models. And, and then she went into cooking.
Yes, she ended up in rural. It's only really because of her son that she's sort of celebrated as she is now.
Well, there you are. Yeah. She told you the story. Now
But also, it's got Andy Samberg in it. And I love him as a comic actor, musician. He's incredibly funny, but he's playing a serious role as a sort of. She goes with her to.
So that and The Critic are going to be next week's.
Yeah, The
Big
Critic.
Films,
I have seen
it.
I'll review The Critic next week. But if you go and see one film this month, probably don't make it that. I'll tell you why next week.
Well, that was
cutting. Listen,
that
I've
was
loved
brutal. Wasn't
I've
it?
Loved everything this week that I've seen.
Yep.
Apart from that,
yeah.
Everyone's
There's always a fly in the ointment, isn't there?
There's another couple of things coming out.
Crow in the ointment.
If you didn't catch NT Live's Prima Facie. One woman show that's out again this week or next week, and Amadeus is on tomorrow at the Light. I'm going to catch
Rock
that.
Me Amadeus.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
So
what's that? Will and Harper. That's that Will Ferrell one. Is
yeah.
Road trip with his
friend. It's a documentary.
Just come out as transgender.
Yeah.
He
was the writer on Saturday Night Live, and he provided a lot of Will Ferrell's material. Yeah.
All that stuff that turned up in A Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah.
One of my favourite films.
So that's out Friday as well. Yeah.
Okay, so that was a packed show. We've got one more piece of music.
Do you think we got away with it, Martin?
There's a room full of writers on this show. So this is going to be electronics getting away with it. Weirdly directed by a director whose work I absolutely adore, Chris Marker, a French filmmaker who allegedly a photograph had never been taken of. He was completely... he's something of an enigma. He's a ghost of French cinema.
Oh, okay.
But he's probably best known for his 25-minute film La Jetée, which is made up entirely of still images.
A stone cold classic.
A stone cold classic. If you want to see more, Sans Soleil is an amazing film, as is The Last Bolshevik. So try and hunt those down. He's not to everyone's taste. And this is the blandest video I think I've ever seen. It's just them standing in front of Mike singing or strumming their guitar. It's so enigmatic and it's so Chris Marker in its own way. So we're going to leave you this week. So have a great week.
Yeah, enjoy your films. There's so much out there.
As you have this week. So bye-bye. See you next week.
Bye.
To get wet on purpose, I've been forcing myself not to forget just to feel worse. I've been getting on.